welcome to episode 471 of the Entertainment 2.0 podcast brought to you by thedigitalmediazone.com. I'm Josh Pollard.
And I'm Richard Gunther, and this is the show where we talk about consumer entertainment technology. And Josh, I'm glad to be back because this may be the last time we talk with everybody until we're at CES.
Yeah, until we're face to face for like seven straight days.
We won't kill each other, really.
Hey, we've made it through a bunch of other CESs. I think we're going to be all right. Yeah, this is probably going to be it for 2018. Yep, that's the year that's coming to an end. Unless something big happens, then I don't know. Maybe we'll try and figure something out. But holidays and all that stuff is tricky. And typically, tech news really dries up at the end of the year because everyone's holding everything for CES, which, in case you don't know, because your inbox is not getting flooded vendors trying to get you to come to their booths at CES, CES this year is the week of January 6th. So it'll basically start for us January 6th and go through that whole week. And then, as usual, we'll be recording at least once, probably just once, but at least once. We'll record an episode of Entertainment 2.0 while we're in Vegas and get that released as soon as we can. So this might be it until CES, but we're not sure. So
we're doing something a little bit different this year. We actually have recording space on the floor at CES. Now, it is directly across the aisle from Earthquake Sound, so it may not be the most ideal place to record.
Yeah, that place can get real loud. Really loud. So we'll see. Yeah, I have no idea. We've never done like a show recording on the show floor. We've done lots of interviews and stuff like that. Well, you've especially done lots of interviews for Home On that way. But we've never tried to record a whole show on the show floor. So we'll see how that goes. It'll be fun.
It should be okay. It's right next to where they record Pop Tech Radio, and I've been on that in the past, and they managed to get through the day, so.
Right. Right. All right, well, we have a ton of listener feedback this week. Most of this, but not all, most of it was sent in to our email inboxes at entertainment20@thedigitalmediazone.com, although I bet most of you don't actually type out that whole address. You just head on over to the website and use the contact form, because you've got it bookmarked. It's probably, the DMZ is probably your start page, right? That's what I expect of our listeners. Like they open up Chrome or Edge.
I don't know that everybody, not for long. I don't know that everybody has a DMZ tab open all the time like we do.
All right. That should be everyone's New Year's resolution. 2019, year of the DMZ as your start page. All right. Let's actually get into the show, I suppose. I think you should read the first one, because I love the first few words of this message.
This is,
and I want to hear you say it.
This is just bait. All right, this is from Law and Paul, and Paul's first words are, Josh, you are 100% correct.
Yay, thank you, Paul. It doesn't matter what he's talking about. I'm just going to stick with that sentence.
All right, next message. No, all right, moving on. He says, the last episode of Good Place was this season's best so far. We know you can talk about Anthem, or we know you can't talk about Anthem, but was it fun? Your fun is not an NDA yet.
I can't talk, like, when you do these private alphas and stuff of games, you can't give any impressions of games. I can't tell you whether or not it was fun. So, sorry. I would love to, but I can't.
All right, point three. All this Cortana talk just makes me angry that Microsoft never put a built-in mic on the front of the Xbox consoles. They put the IR blaster there when they stopped doing Kinect. Why did they fail at the mic?
Preach, brother. I don't know.
Seriously. Big mistake. I don't get it. I just don't get it at all. And point four, to me, Richard, TV Time had yet another great update. When the app is open, go to the profile page. There you will see a whole new layout, including the ability to see who is following you who you are following. Now you can easily go to other users' profiles and easily see shows, comments, and memes. I like things like this a lot because I'll discover shows I'd never heard of by seeing what friends like. Yeah, I like this too. I think that the team behind TV Time has introduced a bunch of really good feature improvements over the last few releases. Unfortunately, the most recent release breaks some things that they had fixed in prior releases, specifically tablet layouts on the iPad, where depending on your screen rotation, it may actually break the layout and not let you to get you to stuff on the page. So I don't know what's going on there. Hopefully they'll fix that soon. I sent them a message saying, why do you keep breaking this? I don't understand. But I like the app. It's cool.
To keep their testers in business.
Yeah, maybe.
Job security. All right. Well, thank you, Paul. Our next message is from Rob. He says, season's greetings, guys. Quick question. This is really a question for me. With the holidays coming up, I've got 2.5 weeks off work. And rather than spend time with the family, I thought I'd make a dent in some of the longer games in my backlog. I like the way you think, Rob. I'm having trouble deciding. So which would you suggest I tackle first? The Witcher 3, Rise of the Tomb Raider, Metal Gear Solid 5, or Quantum Break? And we're going to address this first before we go on to everything else.
All right.
I've only played all the way through one of these games, and that's Quantum Break. I played a little bit of Metal Gear Solid 5. I definitely haven't played The Witcher 3, and I can't keep track of which Tomb Raider game is which. I probably didn't play this one. All of these are really good games. When I look at a backlog, though, of all types, not just gaming backlogs, what I tend to do is say, like, how can I knock these out quickly? And so when I'm looking at this, I think, well, the shortest games that you mention here are Tomb Raider and Quantum Break. So I would start with a short one, and then maybe you can knock out a couple of games, because The Witcher 3 is huge. You know, that's like a 50, 60 hour game. You're probably not going to get through that in your time off, especially if you do actually have to spend time with family. So I would start with one of those two. And while the Tomb Raider games are good, I loved Quantum Break. The story is really cool. The TV shows that you get to see are cool. The time mechanics are really cool. The only thing that's challenging is the final boss. Like, you might just not know what to do. And if you're not someone who's like into looking up how to beat bosses and stuff like that, if you struggle at all with figuring out what to do on the final boss, just look up how to do it. It's fine. I give you permission to kind of cheat. So start with Quantum Break. Then, I don't know, go whichever way you want. Metal Gear Solid 5 is a cool game if you're into stealth games. I tried it. I'm just not into stealth games. I can't do it. So that's where I would start, is Quantum Break, or maybe Tomb Raider if you're really, really into Tomb Raider. All right, rest of his message. He says, also, I signed up for Hulu with their 99 cent per month Black Friday deal and thought I'd check out Superstore since Richard's been raving about it. I watched a few episodes and thought it was only okay, and openly groaned at the will they or won't they setup in the very first episode. I've been watching what I thought was occasionally since then. Last night I went to play the next episode, and to my surprise, there were no more. I've burned through over 60 episodes in a few weeks. This show at 20 minutes snuck up on me and became my go-to. And now I'm bummed I have to wait a week. I have to wait week to week to watch it like it's the 90s again.
Oh, so, like barbarians.
Right. So thanks, Richard. Love the show, guys. In fact, I'm not sure how he meant thanks, Richard. Like snarky, or maybe he's actually genuinely thanking you.
Because it sounds like he is liking the show. As genuine thanks.
Okay. I'm going to go with the snarky approach. I like
that. That's cool. Yeah. The show takes a little bit to get into, but I just love it. I absolutely love it. All right. Why don't we swap here? Why don't you take Keith? Because I want to take Jim.
Okay. So Keith sent this in to us via Twitter, at DigiMediaZone, D-I-G-I MediaZone. He says, just catching up on the show, I've been finding out Chromecast inclusion into speaker groups is only supported for actual Chromecast devices, not Android TV or things that support casting. Like, I can cast YouTube to my Roku TV, but not audio. Yeah, that's still what I'm seeing too. And I'm mad. I'm real mad. I want to put my... Because those devices, my NVIDIA Shield and my Vizio TV, they're the ones hooked up to my good speakers. Right. Let me put them in groups.
Ugh. Right. Yeah. No, I get it. But yeah, weird.
Yeah.
All right. Well, the next message is from Jim. And Jim writes, Richard said he would recommend two Echo Dots over a Sonos One for music. Where does the $60 Invoke fit in there? $60 being the new price that you can get an Invoke for.
Right.
Just sound quality here, not considering the voice assistant. So this is a tough one because both Josh and I have perspectives on the things that we've listened to, but neither one of us has listened to all of these devices.
Right.
So, you know, as far as the Echo Dots, the two new Echo Dots, I think the Echo Dots have very good sound quality, as good as, if not better than, a Google Home Mini. And really, between the, that was my Google Home that I just set off behind me. And really, between the Echo Dots and the Sonos One, for me, the big difference is that you can get a really good stereo sound over very, very good mono sound. And I just hate listening to music in mono anymore. I can't tolerate it. So I would be willing to go down just a little bit of a level to get a good solid stereo sound. And that's what you're going to get out of the Echo Dots. But how about the Invoke? Like, where I've heard people say that the Invoke is comparable to a Sonos.
The Invoke is good. It's very clear. I did a lot of testing between the Invoke and the regular Google Home. I found it to be better than the Google Home Mini, without a doubt. But we ended up, but both my wife and I, I couldn't do a blind test because I'm the one who knows how to swap these things out really fast. But I had her turn her back to the speakers, place the Invoke and the Google Home right next to each other, and just swapped which speaker I was sending Spotify music to. And we both liked the sound of the Google Home more because there's more bass to the Google Home. More bass doesn't always mean better sound, though. So, and I can recognize that. Like, the highs and stuff are clearer on the Invoke. But I like some bass to my music. So, is the Invoke better than a couple of Echo Dots? Probably, unless you're like Richard and really like to have that stereo separation. And the other thing that the Echo Dot combination offers you is if you do really like the stereo stuff and you're disappointed by the amount of bass, you could get that Echo subwoofer, right?
That's true. And then you get a more full sound from everything. So yeah, it's a hard call.
All righty. I think this is our last one. This is from Carl, sent in just before we started recording tonight. He says, have you all mentioned the Canopy app on the show before? I just discovered it this week. It's yet another streaming service app, but this one is dedicated to independent movies. They have a pretty good collection that just got recently expanded with A24 studio titles. They have apps for all the big platforms, it seems, except Xbox, unfortunately. The neat thing about the service is that it's free with your library card. So your local library needs to participate in the program.
Okay, I need to just stop right there. That is friggin' awesome.
It is. This, like, we don't talk a lot about books on the show, but Jen and I have completely, like, this is going to sound insane. Jen and I have completely switched to the library for books. And the reason why that sounds insane is like, duh, of course you go to the library for books. No. For ebooks and for audiobooks.
Yeah, that's
like,
great.
We stopped. Jen had been a Kindle Unlimited subscriber for over a year, I think, and loving it. And then we were like, you know, it's actually really easy to get them from the library on our phones. Let's just do that instead of paying Kindle $10 a month or whatever. So, yeah, I'm a big fan of these services. All right. He goes on to say, my library in the Houston area is part of it. With that, I get essentially 4 tokens for movies each month. It doesn't seem to have Dolby Audio, but the interface is pretty smooth. This is a really good service for fans of indies. Check it out at canopy.com. That's K-A-N-O-P-Y.com. And he also provided a link to the story that he found that got him into it. We'll, of course, have links to both of these in the show notes. But he says he likes their model and he likes his library, so it's a good match. This is cool. I had not heard of this.
Yeah, I hadn't either. This is very, very cool. I thought when I first started reading this message, it was yet another subscription that you had to pay for to get indie movies. And I was thinking, wait, didn't we just lose a service that was trying to do this very thing? Why does someone else think that they can succeed here? This is brilliant. I love it.
Yeah, this seems like a really smart way to do that. Because you're always like indie movies, that's niche. So it's going to be hard to get a lot of people to pay for that. And it's easier to get libraries to pay for these things.
Very cool.
All right, well, that does it for our feedback this week. Thank you to everybody who sent some in. Also, I didn't put it all in here, but our friend Chris, who's the fanatic for Windows Phone and Cortana and all of that, did send me some corrections or at least some finer details on all of the Cortana stuff that is now working with the Xbox. Unfortunately, I didn't get it before I recorded the show last week, but basically he still loves Cortana. Cortana does have some abilities and it's definitely getting better there. But I don't think it really changes pretty much anything that I said last week. And I doubt it's going to change how Richard feels about Cortana either. So
no, but it's worth mentioning. He also kind of corrected me with my thoughts about how Amazon's assistant worked with Xbox, and they've really built that out much more fully now. So that's also a much more powerful way of controlling the Xbox too.
Yeah. So a lot of, at least about half of these stories, I think, are going to be pretty quick. And we're going to start with one that's going to be a pretty quick news story here. YouTube 4K videos now available to watch with a Comcast X1 box. This is kind of cool. And I felt kind of weird even putting it in the show notes because it seems like so often we're talking about cord cutting technologies and Comcast X1, that ain't cord cutting. That's paying top dollar for your cable subscription. But we're not just cord cutting here. Richard has, as he likes to say, he has all the cords. Richard pays for all of that stuff. But you don't have Comcast, right?
No.
Is it even available in your area?
I don't know if it is where I am. It was before, but let's just say I very intentionally don't and haven't had Comcast.
Mm. Yeah. So the Comcast X1 boxes, they sound like they're getting pretty, at least full featured. So it's obviously your cable box. But now you can watch YouTube videos in 4K, so that's pretty great. It already has Netflix and Amazon Video in 4K, so you've got the three major players in 4K stuff. I wonder if it's got Vudu. Probably doesn't, or else this article probably would have said that. But they've also got a voice remote that works pretty well, so you can just use the voice remote and say 4K videos on YouTube, and you'll get a big list of all of the 4K videos on YouTube. So, I mean, there's not a lot to really dig into here, but if you are a Comcast X1 subscriber and you've got a 4K TV, This is good news. It's way easier. You know, like the thing that kind of stands out to me with this story is for so long, like back in the Windows Media Center days, we were like, we're doing Media Center because we want one box that does everything. Media Center was doing our TV DVR mm-hmm. stuff and Netflix. It was one of the early places that had Netflix. And we're like, well, if my cable box could do all these other things, then maybe I wouldn't need Media Center. And now, 10 years later, cable box is finally starting to do some of this stuff.
Yeah. And, you know, Media Center had other fledgling video services that never went anywhere. All right. Anyway, moving on in the video world, two quick TiVo. And when he sees new stuff go through the FCC that has anything to do with new smart home or home entertainment technology, he is on it. And what he saw most recently was a filing by TiVo, or let me say this differently. He saw a filing of a TiVo remote that had a Google Assistant button on it. Now, you know there are different versions of the TiVo remote, right? There's the TiVo Vox that has their voice button. There's the TiVo remote that has a keyboard that you can slide open. There's the TiVo remote that has like Netflix and other buttons on it. But this is the first time we've seen anything having to do with Google, certainly on a remote. So this makes you ask a lot of questions. Are we getting Google Assistant support for TiVo? Or is Google Assistant going to be built into the TiVo at some point in the future? Or does this mean we're getting the TiVo software on Android televisions, maybe? Are we going to actually see an Android TV client for TiVo that would be just like a mini extender? Or is it going to just be more like the player that lets you watch stuff you've recorded that was available, I say rumored for the Roku and supposedly available for the Fire TV, but I've never seen any of those work in real life. So who knows? We don't know, but it's interesting. It's really interesting. And I'd love the idea of a software-only TiVo extender. I think that would be a great idea.
Did you notice which buttons were missing from this remote?
I have to say that I didn't go examining it like closely enough to try and figure that out. Oh, actually, one of the big things that's missing seems to be like, basic shuttle controls, like play, pause, skip, exactly. Rewind. Interesting.
Yep.
Huh.
Not there.
I don't know that I would like that.
Yeah. No record button either, I don't think. Yeah.
All right. Well, it's cool.
Weird.
Nonetheless, I don't want this remote, but I'm hard on remotes. I have a high bar.
You're also not really in the Google Assistant ecosystem.
All right. Well, moving on. Our second TiVo story is about a trade-in program that, again, it seems like Dave had the scoop on this, which isn't too surprising because Dave's really well tuned into what's going on over in TiVo world. And the trade-in program allows you to trade in an old over-the-air Romeo, the TiVo OTA Romeo version, last generation, for the new TiVo over-the-air Bolt. And you may remember one of the things that we were kind of scratching our heads about is why the new TiVo over-the-air Bolt was so much more expensive than the old Romeo version of pretty much the same thing. And I guess they had a lot of feedback along those lines. So they're offering the ability to trade your old one in for a new one, save $200. And so between the $250 for the box and the $250 for the lifetime service for the box, basically you're all in at $300, which is what it would have cost you before.
So if you're upgrading, then that's a good deal. But if you're new to this ecosystem, it's still a whole lot of money.
Yeah, if you're new to this ecosystem and you're looking at the TiVo over-the-air Bolt, I don't know. My thought is maybe instead buy a Fire TV 4K dongle and the Fire Replay DVR or something like that. It's going to be cheaper.
Fire TV Recast.
Recast. Replay, Recast, whatever.
Re-something or other.
Re-something DVR.
All right, cool. Well, our audio news is also going to be a short one. Tidal, I don't know why they keep coming up in the news lately, but Tidal, the audio streaming service that's known for its ultra high quality service offering, now taking a page from Spotify. Well, frankly, it kind of feels like everybody has this
from everyone. Sort of, I swear we just talked about this feature in some other system too recently.
Pandora, maybe? I'm not sure.
Actually, I think it's Plex. I think Plex is doing this.
Oh, so what feature are we talking about? The personalized playlist stuff that where it builds you playlist based off of the type of stuff that you're listening to. It's called My Mix here. It's basically here's some playlist of for this genre because you listen to this genre, or this artist because you listen to this artist a lot. They've apparently also done some work for when you say, you know, do artist radio for the specific artist, that it's doing a better job of finding you good music that you might actually like. So yeah, this is not news that's, you know, gonna make everybody run and scream over to Tidal, because it's just functionality that all the other guys have. But it's kind of necessary, because this, I think this is how most people do music discovery in these types of services nowadays.
I would agree, and I think it's funny that services like Pandora that started through this model have been scrambling to get on-demand subscriber services, and services like Tidal and Spotify, which started as on-demand services, have been trying to add these more discovery mechanisms. It kind of tells you that the sweet spot is somewhere in the middle. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you want to hear what you want to hear, and sometimes you want to discover new stuff that you might also like. So one other thing here, I mentioned when we talked about Tidal last, which was when it was announced that they were including Tidal Music Service in Plex, that Tidal was not available as one of the music services that you can play on your Echo device. That is actually not true. That changed very recently, so recently that I didn't notice it when we were researching the Plex story. But in fact, in November, Tidal apparently relatively quietly became available as one of the supported services. So now, in addition to those that we already had, like Deezer and Spotify and Pandora and Amazon, you also have the ability to use Tidal Music, and now Apple Music is available too, all on the Echo devices.
Yeah, that Apple Music one still baffles me. All right, well, let's move on to some gaming news. A lot of rumors and leaks and stuff starting to come out of Microsoft here, and a lot of code names to keep straight. We'll try and get you in the know on all of these code names here and explain what exactly they are, because it looks like Microsoft is going to be releasing one or two new Xboxes in 2019 that are still of this generation, the Xbox One generation, and two new brand new consoles of the next generation. That's all under the code name Scarlet in 2020. So let's jump to the really cool stuff. So the stuff that's under the Scarlet banner, the next generation Xbox, the 2020 stuff. It's now looking like two consoles. One has the code name Anaconda, like the big scary snake. This is the one that is going to be the one for, you know, people who are going to buy a video game console the day it comes out. This is the one they want. It's going to be the equivalent to the Xbox One X. It's going to be the super powerful one. It's the one that you probably want if you're a hardcore gamer. But there's another one now, too, with the code name Lockhart. And this one, a lot less powerful. Sounds like it may use a new AMD, I believe they call these an APU, where they integrate the CPU and the GPU on the same die. They do this on a lot of their like lower to mid-range computers and stuff, because it's way more power efficient to do things that way. but it's not something that's going to give you like amazing graphics capabilities. But as we talked about a couple months ago, Microsoft is talking about this Project xCloud streaming service where you don't need nearly as much high-end video processing horsepower to play games if you're streaming them from the cloud. It's an interesting hybrid solution that combines some computing stuff happening locally so that they can help get the latency down, but all of the high-end graphics crunching happens in the cloud on much more powerful servers. So Lockhart should theoretically be significantly cheaper because GPUs cost so much money. It'll just require you to have a nice internet connection. So those, both Anaconda and Lockhart, they're part of Scarlett. That's all the next generation stuff coming out in probably 2020. Again, all of this is rumors and leaks. Like, none of this has been actually announced, but there's a lot of big name people reporting these at this point. The other one to remind you about is Maverick, and that's the one that should be coming out next year, and that's the one that isn't going to have a disk drive. It'll be digital only, and theoretically will also usher in a new program where somehow you'll be able to convert your physical library of games into digital licenses. That's the part I'm super curious about with this device. But Windows Central is saying the Maverick could be announced in January and released in the spring. So that'll be cool if it is. Wouldn't that be awesome if Microsoft actually announced this at CES? Oh, wait, they're not really at CES.
Right. Yeah, that's probably not going to happen.
All right, so that's it for the real news, but there is one cool thing that Microsoft always does around this time of year, and that is their Xbox Year in Review. I was going to ask Richard to do this, like, just for giggles, because I doubt he's even actually played any games this year, so that's why I didn't actually ask you to do this. But the Xbox platform obviously keeps track of all of the stuff that you've been playing. They know how many hours you've played in every game. They know all about your achievements and all that stuff. And at the end of the year, they give you a cool report. For me, all I care about is the numbers. I want the data. You know, tell me how many hours I've played my games. But they do this stupid thing where it builds this snow globe out of various... It's stupid and pointless. But the numbers are interesting. So, apparently, I play a lot of games I don't play a lot of games. I play on my Xbox a lot, more than I thought I would compared to most people, because I'm in the top 8% in terms of hours played of my Xbox. I would not have expected that.
Yikes. Yeah. Says the guy that co-hosts a gaming podcast. I mean, come on.
Well, sure, but most of those games are short. Most of them. And you'll see why when I break down. I think it's fun to share this stuff, so I figured I'd share it with our listeners. So in terms of total hours played in 2018, and this is actually not all of 2018. This only goes through October. 298 hours. It doesn't seem like that much. Maybe it is. And then they also break it down between solo games and multiplayer. I'm almost at a perfect 50-50 split here. 155 hours of solo gaming, 143 hours of multiplayer gaming. That seemed about right. And then they also break down the hours per category. Not surprising here. 157 hours in sports games, which also includes racing games. So NHL and Forza. Yep, that's it. And then 45. Yeah, I go from 157 in one category to 45 is second place on right. Action adventure, 44 in role-playing games, 41 in shooters. And then here's the one that I don't understand. 7 hours in strategy games. I can't even think of what strategy games I played. I suck at strategy games. I don't play them. So I want to know what game or games that was, because I'm not sure. So the category stuff is interesting, but the more fun part is the actual games. So not surprising to anybody, the number one game for me was NHL 18. So that would be the one that came out last fall. 102 hours there. Yeah. Second place at 40 hours, so less than half, was Final Fantasy 15. So that one was for story players, okay? That's one of the main reasons I played Final Fantasy 15. In third, right. PUBG at 28 hours. In fourth is NHL 19.
More NHL. Right.
Only 22 hours, but that's because it's only through October. Doesn't have any of my November time there. And then 17 hours in The Walking Dead collection, which is actually just seasons 2 and 3. So yeah, that's my Xbox year in review. I'll have a link to this in the show notes if you have not done your year in review yet. Send us how your gaming breakdown went. Handsome Rob said he had 90 plus hours in Mass Effect Andromeda due to those pesky side quests. I'm impressed, dude, that you stuck with that game for 90 plus hours. It was good. I didn't think it was that good, but congratulations to you. All right, that's it. That's crazy. It for our gaming news. That's it for, well, most of our like newsy news, but yeah, that's right. Newsy news. We do have a contest winner to announce. So we, over the last week or so, we're running a contest to give away not one, but 2 Google Home Minis. And we drew the winner of that. And the winner that we drew is Tony Richards. So Richard, Tony, not Richard. It wasn't Richard that won. Tony won. He said he's been a listener of this podcast since almost the beginning. That's a long,
wow,
long. This show started in 2008. So
yeah, that's a couple co-hosts ago.
right. That's a host ago. You know, this show started as just a single host. Adam Thursby started the show by himself. So yeah, I wonder if it's pre-me, because I came on at like episode 16. That would be super impressive. If anybody is listening who has been listening since before me, I want to know. I would love to know if you've been listening for that long. And if so, maybe next time we have a contest, you'll win. So Tony, congratulations. Thank you for entering, and thank you to everybody who listened and shared the contest. Look for more contest soon is all I'm going to say there. So Richard, let's get into what's going on in our entertainment centers.
All right. So a lot of TV viewing for me between my travels. And so I had the ability to kind of download some stuff and watch it while I was in flight. So a couple episodes of This Is Us and New Amsterdam, Up to Speed on the Conners, Superstore and Modern Family. The series Mars is ending tonight, the night that we speak. The season 2 finale will be playing. So I will very likely be watching that after we're finished recording. We caught up on Doctor Who, and that season is now over. I'm a little bit confused by that, because usually in the past they've had kind of split seasons. So I don't know if they're just calling it a season, even though it's only been like 10 episodes or something like that. I don't know what's going on there, but I presume we will have a Christmas special as usual, and then something showing up again in the spring. And then finished Game of Thrones season 4. We've been behind in recording that, but we're starting to get back on pace for that, because we now have a season 8 starting time. We know that season 8 is going to start in April. So Anthony and Jenny and I have to stay on schedule to record the episodes, so that when the new season is out, we'll be able to be recording Let's Talk About Thrones right after each episode of Game of Thrones comes on. Then I've been watching The Good Place, a couple more episodes into season 1. And for some reason, and I can give you no good explanation for this whatsoever, except that it was there and it was promoted on Hulu, I watched A Very Brady Christmas. And yes, it was as bad as it sounds it would be.
I bet. I'm sure it was.
It was absolutely awful. So don't watch it. And that's pretty much it for all I've been watching. But apparently, my cable company thinks that I watch a lot more television than I really do. I am paying them way more than I'm getting out of the service that I am paying for. And I don't mind usually, but I'm at the end of the promo periods. And I think I mentioned this before, and I keep forgetting about it. And then the monthly bill comes. I'm like, wow, that's about $60 more than I want to be paying for this service. I need to do some trimming. So my pre-New Year's resolution is to get that cleaned up and snip that back down by about $60 before the end of the year. We'll see. We'll see if it happens. I hope it does.
How are you planning to do that?
Well, usually I just threaten to start canceling services and they come up with all these new deals for me.
I like it.
Yeah. It's kind of like the chicken challenge that they talk about on Quilt Killers. All right. That's it for me. How about you? Tell me that you have been playing lots of NHL and watching lots of television.
I played a little bit of NHL, but I did watch a fair amount of television. In fact, I watched, this is the closest to binging I get, unless I'm like super sick and home on the couch or something. I watched 3 episodes of a show back to back to back, Homecoming. I finally got around to checking that out.
Oh, I really want to see this.
I'm not sure about it yet. Like,
really? Wow.
It's very Sam Esmail in terms of the direction and all of that stuff. And it's, you know, it's weird. Not quite as weird as some of those episodes of Mr. Robot. But there's there's definitely something weird going on. But as I was watching the first episode, I thought, this is not great so far. But I'm sure, you know, the way these shows work is something at the very end of the first episode is going to be like, what? And I'm going to have to watch the second episode. It wasn't. There wasn't some big, oh my gosh, what was that sort of moment. But
so you're like, well, I'll have to watch second one. Maybe the second one has that.
I had time. Jen was out. I got nothing better to do. Might as well watch episode 2 because they're short. You know, they're 30 minutes or less. So let's try another episode. And it was intriguing, but I don't know. I'm not sure yet. I don't remember how many episodes this season is. It's probably in the 10-ish range. I'll keep going, I guess, because I do want to know what's going on here. But I'm not in love with it the way that I have been so many other shows. But I'm gonna keep going.
Interesting.
Because it's Sam Esmail, because it's how am I blanking on her name? Julia Roberts. Like, you know, there's some good talent here, so I'm going to keep trying,
yeah.
But I'm not falling head over heels for Homecoming.
Interesting. And refresh my memory, did you ever finish Jack Ryan?
No.
You should get back to that.
But Jen and I were watching it together, so I'd like to finish it with her, and that's always difficult, so.
Yep.
Handsome Rob says I should stop while I'm ahead. There's too much quality out there. He makes a great point, because there are shows that I love that I'm way behind on, like The Americans,
yeah.
And what is that show with Claire Danes on Showtime?
Home something.
Homeland, yes. The other good home show.
There we go. The other good home show.
So that's it for me too. I didn't even game that much this weekend, and boy, you know, it's going to be a couple weeks before we record the show again. And I still don't think I would have a whole lot to report, because yeah, I've got some time off work, but a lot of it's away from home. I don't think I'm going to be watching or playing a ton of games between now and our next recording, and I obviously won't be watching any while we're in Vegas. So
yeah, well, I mean, the holidays are crazy. Yeah. So, you know, unless you're going to do like our one listener plans to do and just blow off your family and play games instead.
Jen, take the kids, go to your parents' place for the week. I'm going to stay home. Yeah, that would not go over well.
That's not going to work.
Not going to work at all in my family.
Nope.
All right. Well, I think that's going to do it here. So if you want to get a hold of us, we're on Twitter. Richard is at Richard Gunther. I'm at Josh Pollard. The website is at Digi Media Zone, DIGI Media Zone. We're on Facebook and all the other places. All of that contact information is on our show notes over at thedigitalmediazone.com. We've also got some other podcasts for you to listen to. Richard, you just recorded an episode of Home On a few hours ago. Do you want to give us a hint as to what it was and when it might be coming out?
I did. It's crazy. So I actually have two in the hopper right now. So we have the Fireside Chat that we recorded with the other Tech FM podcasters, and Rose Thibodeau was on that. And if you cannot wait for my remix of that, it is already out on the Home Tech FM feed, so you can catch that there. I will be remixing that, and mine will not set off your Echo devices, if you care. But should be out in a couple of days. And then after that, planned for the week of the 1st, I have the year-end and look-ahead episode that I did with CNET's Andrew Gebhardt. Andrew is one of the smart home reporters at CNET. We always get someone from CNET on at the end of each year. Take a look at the news at the end of the year, and then looking at CES in particular, how did they do in terms of what was announced last year? And what do we think we're going to see this upcoming year? And you know what? We had, let's just say that there were more misses or failed deliveries this year than we had hits on our list.
Hmm. Okay. I love those shows. Those are great shows for this time of year. So cool. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah. And if you don't know Andrew, he is just a riot and a lot of fun. He does great videos on CNET. So he was a fantastic guest.
Cool. No new episode of Story Players yet, but it's in the planning stages. It'll be, I'm not sure. Joe and I were just talking today, trying to figure out scheduling. Scheduling around the holidays is tricky. We'll see. It might be, here's what I'm trying to schedule. I'm trying to get this out before I leave for CES. And that should give you all plenty of time. That next episode will be for Life is Strange, episode 1 of season 2, I guess we're calling this. And that's pretty good timing, because today it was announced that episode 2 is coming out, I want to say, January 24th. So that's plenty of time to play through episode 1 and then listen to our spoiler cast of it before episode 2 comes out.
That's cool. I'm glad to see that getting back on schedule. But I have to say, one thing that's like an added bonus of the hiatus that you guys took is it kind of makes Home On look like it's coming at you fast and furious.
Hey, we don't control when these episodic games come out, okay? No control here. All right, well, that's our other podcast, but if you're a big fan of this, and you must be if you're still listening at this point, you can come and join us live as we record the show, normally on Tuesday nights at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. Obviously, that's not going to be the case if our next episode is at CES. That will not be live. There's no way we're going to try and pull that off. After that, come and join. We had a few people in the chat tonight. Handsome Rob is in there. GP3 is in there. Alan is in there. Lots of fun conversation going on in the chat. And hopefully we'll see you there next time, because that's going to do it for episode 471. He's Richard Gunther, and I'm Josh Pollard. Thanks for listening to Entertainment 2.0. Adios.
See ya.